We're going to try to plug into the Mishnah now, try to understand the Mishnah according to these Yesaidis. And maybe one day we'll get around to answering some of the questions we had. But today's level, what we're trying to do, the job before us today, is to see if we can get the map of the Mishnah. Last week we were talking generally the concepts of the five. This week we have to try to plug it in and understand the particular five that led to the Mishnah and see how the five Talmidim fit on the map. Or what's, you know, like we said last time, you have to know the sugya. You have to have the picture. What map are we talking about? Don't we just understand the particulars? First we have to get the picture. So now, any discussion of particulars are only for the purpose of getting the overall picture. We're trying to get the overall picture. From here on in, we're mainly going to be based on what the Maharal says, because he opened the picture for us. He gave us the basic outline, the basic understanding of how to approach the sugya. And anything that's right came from him, anything's wrong, I made it up. we'll try to keep as close as possible to track. The basic concept that we have over here is that Shtayim Shem Arba, the Mishnah beginning of Shavuos, Shtayim Shem Arba, that every two, in Torah we said, has a two times the rank, every two, which is the basic. Two is the concept of the basic breakdown of things into separate parts. Achdus is one. Two is the two directionals. You can go from A. As soon as you move off the Makuya, end up at two times two means that you have a double extension. You got four directions you go, or you're going up and down to the sides. The same concept is that you have twice you're going into the directions. The basic concept of two in terms of Nefesh HaOlam, the first klal that we're talking about is that we're talking about the Binyan HaOlam. Nefesh HaOlam is built in the following structure. So if we're going to talk about one, that's a very important thing to talk about. So then one is the Olam HaShalom. The person is one entity. Before, during, and after that we speak about all the different parts of a person, we have to remember that we're all talking about parts of one unit. If Chas V'Shalom, a person would get to the point, this is true, every talking about these types of subjects, where you start seeing things totally separate and off the map. Totally, as a thing that stands on its own, that's where all the shittus come from. All the shittus in the negative form. All of the isms and all of the falsehoods of the world is that they took a certain section of reality, draw a circle around it, and called that the total reality, and the mixes emes that they had within that world is the emes that supports the major sheker that they built on. It's called Mekatzis Menetius, it's the sort of all of the Zohar, of all of that, that you take off from the one entity, some little piece of truth, you break it off and you see this is the whole story. But it's not the whole story, it's only one piece, so you build the whole Olam HaSheker to fill in all the blanks, and anytime somebody says, hey, but that's Shekhi's story, look, I'll show you things. He points to the part of the Emes. That's his point. You spoke about it probably, that anytime you're dealing with an argument, say even in Torah or anywhere, the mistake that most people make in arguments is that you attack the Shekhi of the argument. You attack the falsehood of the argument. And in that form, unless you're talking about people on a very high level of MS, chances are you're not going to get through. Because you're going to say, look, it's wrong, and he's going to keep saying, look, it's right. You're going to point to the part that's not good, and he's going to keep pointing to the part that really is good. The only way to get to the MS is that you have to first point to the part that is good. He says, what are you saying? You're saying this, right? So of course that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. So, yeah, that's what you say. You're saying this, right? And so now you have a common ground, now you're linked in. So then you draw a circle around. So the boundaries of the emes that is defined by the emes itself go from here to here. Now, you said this whole other story. It's a big circle. We'll go around there. And then you kept pointing to here. And you show them the falsehood that this doesn't lead to there. And that really, your little circle there, around the piece of evidence, is part of our overall picture. The overall picture, not just that it has different sides, even has opposite sides. And that's why you're all wrong, because you're right only in your corner, but there are three other corners. So, number one, we have to understand one. We have to understand that anything we're going to talk about is part of a whole parcel. And that we explained earlier, the idea of Meine Shvachan. That Meine was that he was trying to show us the complete picture of all of them together. And only in those terms are we capable of understanding the Shvach of each one in particular. This Yisrael is going to come out to us in greatest clarity when we get to the Hua Yoimis, when we get to the Memorial. One day, in the window of these five Tamayim, and we'll see that there on the surface things are going to start now, are going to break down. Meaning, oh, here we're going to learn the basic midah of each person, and then what they said, he would think, would come directly from their basic midah. We get there, it's almost blatantly opposite, that each person says that exactly what the other one should have said. What would fit? I'll just give you an example. One of the meters over here is Ayin Toiva. So the corresponding meter Ra is Ayin Ra. But he's not the one who says it, talks about Ayin Ra. Different one says about Ayin Ra. Doesn't work the way the reason for that is. Because if they were, each one would be a separate entity on their own, so then you can't have any crossing of the groove. But since in reality, each one was the whole picture from a certain aspect, so he's going to give you the whole picture. The picture itself of Ayin Ra, the person who his aspect is Ayin Ra, he doesn't have to tell you about Ayin Ra, that's his whole story. What he has to tell you is the other thing. You think Ayin Ra is only Ayin Ra? No, it's not Ayin Ra. It has all these other aspects that go around it. There's a whole different world that you don't see when you just see the little circle. And I'll tell you how it relates, how it looks, or how all the other parts look from this corner. That's when the last thing you're going to find in the Hu Ayoim is the things that they themselves should say. You're going to find the other parts. When we get there, we'll get it clear. The complication of this mission is because it's really a whole Seder where you have the Midos, and then you have the positive, and then you have the negative, and then you have the each one of the five saying they have three things. So it's a very complicated. And only when we see the whole picture, we're going to be able to really get the entire thing. So you have to bounce it off a little bit. In the beginning, it's just not so clear. Okay, so one is the whole, that's the Yisrael, is to know that the whole thing we're talking about is Tzuvus Adam. Talking about how a person is made two. The two of a person is Nefesh V'Guf. A person is made up of a Elyon and a Tachanun. Goose is made up of Nefesh V'Guf. Anytime that you say person and say two, two of a person is Nefesh V'Guf. And any way that you divide that. Three. When you talk about three, you want to get to four and five, right? So one, two, three, four, five. It's not so far. Three. Whenever you talk about three of a person, so the basic three, then you talk about a person is called Nefesh Ruach Neshamah. Nefesh Ruach Neshamah. We spoke about this last week, right? And just Melech. The three main organs, the three main sections, you have it in the base of Mikdash, you have it all over the place, but you have three, 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 everything is three, right? Four.
Your Nefesh and Nefesh of Ruach Neshamah. Is that the Nefesh of Nefesh and Ruach? Two? Or it is?
Thank you. Very good. This is exactly what we're trying to get into this confusion so we can clarify it. Because until we clarify this, we won't understand the word. Right? When we talk about two, so we call them, in general, Guf and Neshama. So we get the impression, and sometimes we even mean it, but usually not. Guf means this guy. The one that bleeds in the doctor's plan. This guy, that's Guf. And Neshama is the general world for everything that the scientists don't know about. Include all of the psychology and all everything that they do know about, all that in Guf. And the neshama is the spirit, it's the soul that comes with tachas kisei yakov. So that when you're dealing with two, it could be split up in many, many different ways. Sometimes we think of the guf in the lowest form, meaning the guf is only that you put in the keter. Anything that you don't put in the keter, you call nefesh. That's one way. And that's in that terms, you usually call it nefesh aguf. Instead of neshama aguf. Neshama is a higher word. When you want to talk about gashmis and rufnis, okay, so a behemoth is totally gashmis, even though it has some type of, you know, nefesh also. It has a nefesh bahami. But all of that nefesh bahami adds up to gashmis. When you put the animal, when you put the wolf in the kever, there's nothing living anywhere else. Whatever is there when it's alive, like the Pasuk in Kohelet says, nefesh bahami is alive. The nefesh also goes down with the kever. And a person also has a nefesh bahami. There's all kinds of drives and koiches that psychologists are involved with that can be called guf also. And in those terms, we would call and we use it in the neshama of the guf. So what you mean is more physically oriented parts of a person, right, and the more spiritual oriented parts of a person. And in those terms, you usually call it neshama of the guf. Okay. When you get to three, you forget about the guf completely. This guy, and I'm talking about him at all, the guy went home. Before a person is born, and after he dies, even when we're not talking about the nefesh, the goof, this part, this thing, is in the kever, doing what it does that. So you have all three parts, nefesh, goof, and neshama, they're doing their thing up in the areas, or each one, according to the processes that happens after death. But when you talk about the basically three, you're talking about ruach, you're talking about the nefesh, ruach, and neshama, three levels of a person's existence. To bring it down to earth a little bit, so when you talk about nefesh, ruach, and neshama, the most basic concept that you're supposed to think about is the three basic activities of a human being, which is machshava, dibura, and maisa. It has capabilities of thought, it has capabilities of action, and there is a special human capability called Dibor. Dibor Barapov Nishmas Chaim, Pasuk says, Vayol Nefesh Chaim. The Pasuk mentions in that Pasuk Neshama, became El Yonim, Vayol Nefesh Chaim Nefesh, who is the Ruach in Targum. Targum says, what's Ruach Nefesh Chaya, Ruach Mamalo. That's Bedafka why the Targum explains that part of it. But the whole life and the three parts of human activity, the three parts of the world, Moshav, Dibur, and Maisa. Mitzvahs. Most mitzvahs are mitzvahs Maisios. Do this, don't do that. Maisios. There are many mitzvahs that involve Dibur. And there are the special mitzvahs which we call basically Chavis HaLavavis, which basically take place in the Olam HaMachshava. The Olam HaMachshava, when you split it this way, includes what we call Moach HaLev together, the whole process of HaMachshava. And Chavis Lavavos, that would be HaMachshava. Okay, that's three. Four, what's four? But four is what we need, we have to get to four. Four things we're going to look at. Four words like this. When we talk about Nefesh, Ruach and Neshama, which is the sugya of our Mishnah. So there's two sets of two and a fifth on the outside, or on the inside. I'll say the inside. Two sets of two and a fifth. How does it work? It works like this. Man is split into basically two worlds. The world of Torah and the world of Mitzvah. The world of Machshav and the world of Maisa. Which are the basic two concepts of Neshama and Guf. Seichel, Machshava, is one of the higher world, and the world of Maisa, the lower world. The Olam HaDibur, which is the middle world, is the Kela of Briyas HaOlam, that the whole totality of Guf and Neshama together have to act together, the unit of them both together to have Dibur. Dibur, you can't have Dibur without both Nefesh, without both Maisa, there's a Maisa Dibur. Dibur is Maisa. And there has to be Machshava behind it, if not it comes out. Dibur, what would be Dibur, it would be sounds. sign language, that's not Dibur. Dibur is the combination. For a moment we're going to leave Dibur on the sidelines, because that's the highest of the five, that's the most inner level of the five. Let's first get the basic four. Four are two times two, meaning the two basic koichos of a person, the separate koichos, separate worlds, the high world and the lower world, the Elam HaMachshava, and the Elam HaMaisa. Each of these koichos, nafshim, each of these koichos has a corresponding koyach haguf. When we talk about guf, we don't always mean this guy. This guy is called a lavush. When a person dies, he's taken off a pair of clothes. When he gets up to get some mason, he'll get a new pair. That pair of clothes is on the guf. This guf is called a lavush, it's called clothes. And the clothes is on the guf. By the guf called the kechus. Talking about what is roughly equivalent, it's called kechus, the nefesh of Bahamnes, if you want to call it nefesh. B'chol even, there is, we'll call it this way, the vehicle that is mechaber, the Eilon Elyon. The Eilon Elyon is the neshama. The neshama, without its goof, is no more shaykh to mitzvahs than a malach is. You have machshava, very nice. So a malach is bigger than neshama. A pure neshama. A pure machshava. So why is the Torah given to us and not to the Malachim? Because the old machloek is between Moshe Rabbeinu and Malachim. Moshe Rabbeinu won, why? Because he says, you have parents, teach you begin to fight, you have passive matan. All the things, the mitzvahs, it says in the Torah, you can't do Torah purely in the Malachim. All of the koichos, both of Nefesh and of Nesham, the high world and the low world, all for their total form in the Tzuras Adam require a corresponding goof, a vehicle for their expression. These two sets of two is the basic setup of the Mishnah. The map of the Mishnah is that we have the Nefesh and its kli, the Nefesh and its vehicle. The Nefesh being the Koyat Ruchni, where Maisa comes from, and the Seichel, the Machshava, and the Koyach Gufni, which brings that down to this world. Number five, that's the four, that's two times two. The high road and the low. Each one is a set of two. There's a Neshama, we'll call it Neshama and Nefesh. Neshama, and its Guf, and its Kli, and its vehicle, and the Nefesh, and its vehicle. The number five is the total person. All of these four parts would be, like we described before, four separate parts floating in space in opposite directions, if it wouldn't be for a shayrish echot that they all came from. They all have to come from a basic source where they all are derivatives of. Since they're all derivatives of, that's where they all connect back to also. All of these four koichos are derivatives of the basic koyach, which we'll call Odom, the person himself. This creation that's very hard to define, because he's more than some of his parts. His parts are his chelik elyon in his vehicle, his chelik tachton in his vehicle. But what does it add up? It adds up to this pillar of all creation called Surah. And the Surah Sodom is a fifth koyach that all of these four koyachs are derivative of. The Ramah says in the beginning of Shulchan Aruch, they say, Mafliya la'asais, like Birchus HaSayotza. Mafliya la'asais, actually, what is Mafliya la'asais? The Pella is Chibur Nefesh V'Guf, Elyon V'Techni. Odom is that creation, all of it, Rashi says, Chumash, every day there was Birchus HaLyoidin, Birchus HaTechni. That creation, that is the totality of all creation, it brought together all of the miracles, and joined it in one particular nivra, that it relates to the Borei as the total world. The Olam Kotin of the Bias Adam, the whole world is only the Sharis. It's only to the Sharis, the Tzuras Adam. Tzuras Adam is the whole Tachlis, total Tachlis, the world. He's totally wrapped up in Tzuras Adam. Because he has this pillar, this capability of being Chabal Yonim Atachdoim, and bringing it all to stand in relationship to the parish.
Isn't it because he has the nefesh in its levush and the good in its levush?
Rather, but if it would be piecemeal, if there wasn't any totality that we're dealing with, so we have to get back to Ato Echod, Yishimcho, Echod, Mikam, Kleisiko, Echad, Dorot. The version was Echod, Kong, Yilin, Tisal, Echad. When I have a cup and there's some water in it, there's nothing echad about it, except that it's just water. I had this much water, now I put in some more water, so I have more echad. There's nothing. When I have water and I would be able to put fire in that cup and get them to live in harmony, that's achdus. Now I've attained, I've done something. Something happened here. I've taken fire and water and put them together. Oh. That's achdus. But just water. Water is a segment of the world. The only time that you have achdus is when you have all the different parts, and they're all one. And you have all the different parts, and they're all one. If you just have one part, you have a lot of it, you have a little of it, it's just different from the world. But you don't have any achdus, then you just have a lot of something, a little of something. But when you have opposites, when you have the extremes, and you have them combined in one unit, then you have achdus. Yeah. Good. Okay. Alright, let's plug it into the Mishnah. See if we can get at least the map today. Five Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai picked out these five Talmidim because he was aimed that these five joined together to make up each one individually one of these particular five parts of Tzuras Adam. And when you put them all together, you have a total picture of what person's all about. So that's the Sugya the Mishnah is teaching us. Through these five Talmidim, what they are, what they taught, we were able to get a total picture of Tzuras Adam from all of its different aspects, from all of its five major aspects. We'll take it from the bottom, and we'll work our way up. Elazar ben Hyrcanus and Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya are the bottom pair. Bottom pair, so Elazar ben Hyrcanus and Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya. What were their midos that the Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said? Elazar ben Hyrcanus' mido was that he's a morsid and avatipa. He explained last week or 2 weeks ago, I don't remember exactly, that the idea of Bor Sich and Maratipa is not a description of a Kli. It will be just talking about something that has total retention, per se. Because that whatever you put in, it's sealed over and didn't let anything go out. So then, not only is Bor Sich not the ultimate Kli, it's pretty Shvacha Kli. It doesn't even have a cover of Bor Sich. The Vort of Bor Sich is not passive zikaron, but active zikaron. And we spoke about that time, that if you wanted an example for a kli, so this thermos bottle is much better than a borsid. Cap, salz, whatever you put in there, until we took it out. A borsid, that's not the point. But what this thing does is that it has no relationship at all. It was only a total passive. This is a goofness. That's a good goofness that we can use as a kliba alma. That's not the idea of zikor. Zikor, we explained it then. We'll just say it maybe now, the nusach acher, the same concept. Zikor could be for two ways. One way, I drill something in, so I remember because of drilling. That's one form of zikor. Another form of zikor is when, for example, a person remembers his name. A person doesn't forget his name because of drilling. A person doesn't forget who his wife is because of drilling. A person doesn't forget, things that are shy to the person himself are beyond that koyach of kashmir, of shinui. This world, the world of shinui, the world of olam hazeh, the world of hakavah, the world on any level you want to take it, is made up of fancy logos. You want to get to the chemistry level, you want to get to the biology level, atoms, molecules, cells, whatever level of Lego you want to use, the world is a big hakava. It's a big set of hakava. Kids have their hakava set, and everything has his hakava set. Right? But the basic rule of hakava is, since it's not intrinsically one thing, but it is something that's pulled together by parts. So the seder, the natural seder is, at first you put it this together this way, and then you take it apart and you put it together a different way. Ask any kid, I'll tell you. Right? What do you do as soon as you finish building something with Lego? You take it apart and you make something else. Everybody knows that. That the world of Hakava is a world where Lingvish Sura operations. Not in any biology book, chemistry book, any levels, history book, any level that you want to look about the world, you're going to see there's a world that's in constant motion, in constant change, and everything's in a state of change constantly. The only constant thing about anything is that it's changing. Nothing is ever what it is. You know something that was yesterday, today is something else. There's certain advantages in that concept also, but one basic disadvantage of that concept is that this is the source of shikha. How do you forget something? You cannot forget something that is you, that is be'etzem. Something that is be'etzem, shikha can't relate to forgetting. You can't forget something that this is the way it is. Some axiom, any axiom that a person has. Right? In any concept, I want to forget it. Once he's accepted, his brain has accepted the words, I'm not talking about the words, but the idea of a basic axiom, whatever it is, he's heard it the first time and he understood it, and went in, he had to go out. So you don't have to drill it, 1 + 1 = 2, you don't have to drill it. But when I start getting into 127 times 346, what does that equal? Which is a very, very complicated extension of 1 + 1 = 2. That, since it's a combination operation, so if you're going to remember it, you're going to have to drill it. Because there's nothing bad about that combination. There's no axiom. It's already things that you built on top of things you built on top of things. And tomorrow I can take it apart and multiply something else by something else. 1 + 1 = 2, I can't break that down any further. That's the number one. Whenever you're at number one, you're at something that's bad at the base of the thing itself. You can't forget it. You'll never forget anything that's a derivative, anything that's an extension, anything that's a development. Developments, they were here, and then you change them again. Again, looking at science books, but you look at the history of science books, and you'll see all of the ways they were presented, and then erased, and then presented again. Each time it's fact, right? And then erased, and then you change it again. My father used to have his science book from New York State Science Book, 20, 30 years. They had these skeletons, and afterwards they found effects in the head. So we had to do a whole thing on them. I mean, found out, I forgot the name of them, something man, who was the founder of this. Presented as fact, cold fact, was the theory, maybe, but just made it. The world of a cover is a world that always presents itself. And then tomorrow you find out, no, it's something a little bit different. So since there's always a possibility of change, since nothing is this way in particular except for the axioms, so then any particular hakava can always be forgotten, because the way you forget things, memory, the way it works also, is a person has a certain area of storage of concepts, of ideas, whatever it is. A new idea comes where the old idea was, so the old idea goes. Now the new idea replaces the old idea. The new idea could be on the same subject, or the new idea could be on a different subject. But there's a certain amount of storage place. But that can only be if something that's of equal quality. Of equal quality, that it's it's changeable. You have the same thing in computers. There are certain things that go into memory in a form that, as long as it's in memory, it's there. Until something comes along, it takes it out. But there's a different form of memory, it can't be changed. Once it goes in there, it's there. You have to break the machine, change the machine together. That's it. That's this. This is the basic, otherwise this doesn't work at all. This is the basic system. Anything that's an axiom, anything that's a little bit itself, can't be changed. Unless you found out that you made a mistake, and then you have to go uproot it. The idea of Elizabeth Hawkins as a horse, the Shana Mavatipa, is the idea of the form of Zikaron where a person has the capability of accepting all, we'll say it this way, actualizing or accepting the toil, everything that the Eilus Elyon is, the Chelik Elyon, the person, the Mokshova, sends down to the Chelik Tachten of the person, nothing is left in translation, nothing is lost in translation. This could either be in the level of Torah, where whatever he receives from his rebbeim, he retained, like we spoke last time. But that doesn't just mean that he was able to repeat the shiur exactly the way he heard it. Adarava, since it's taking it and retaining it as a purpoil, as something that is come into the Olam HaMaisa, so now he can tell you things that the Rebbe didn't say in Furish. Like we said last time, Gozer said things, but he said things, I do that. When you have the Oizen, when you have the Shmir, you have the Kibul, active Kibul, active Zikor, it means that you take the Chelik Elyon and you bring it up a poil. Now it becomes, as it were, you formed it in its final form. You put it into a permanent form. And that form is more developed than where it started, and it could become all kinds of chidushim from going through that process of taking it from Elyonim to Tachtim. That is something we spoke about before. Today we just want to get the basic map.
Where do we see this in the fact that it's Sid?
Yeah. The more Sid?
Yeah.
The idea. I want to go back.
You made a distinction from Sid in a vacuum thing.
Right.
I mean, this is glass. I mean, this. In a physical sense, would it do the same thing?
What?
I mean.
Yeah. The idea of worse sin, we said, was that it.
Doesn't affect the material, right? It doesn't change it in any way.
Right. In other words, we'll say it in this form. Although he's in the Olam HaMaisa, and therefore he's described as a kli, as a boy sid. But when I take things from the Olam Elyon to the entire thing, not in this form of perfection, not in the nefesh form, in a good form, for example, so there's something lost in the translation. And what was given and what was it looks different. I was given wine and it turned into water. I was given clear water and it turned into dirty water. Clear sid, a bor sid is something that retains the water, that retains it in the pure form, the way it was given it. If you want the dafka, I'll explain to you one more line, and that is as follows. What's the purpose of the bor sid? Well, his chayav didn't do any of us any good. I had the water before. The answer is, for example, the shefa of rain that comes from El Yenim, it comes in a big range. But at the time, there's too much. Tomorrow, it's not enough. It needs a translation system. Elyonim don't have ruling, don't have the limitations of ruling, don't have the advantages of ruling either. And therefore, when you have just chesed, rain comes down, turns into a marble. In order for the water system to be at its maximum potential, so I need both a shefa of a great amount And also, but I can't drink that water for a month, just from the rain. But if I have a kli, a borsu, where I can collect the rainwater from, so then I have rainwater plus form entering that stream of water into a form that fits the oil ha'maisa. Oil ha'maisa needs retention, needs the glue here. And that gives me advantage. Now I can use it for the whole month, the whole whatever it is, the extended time. I have it in this world's terms. The chiddush of bursid, she'enem ha'betipa, is that it does both. It takes the advantage of glue without the chesor. You have the advantage that now you've brought it down into the oil ha'maisa. You don't have the chesor. You didn't translate it out from the milo of bruchni. Nafshi, it's still nafshi. Right? So it's pure form. You didn't dirty it. You didn't taint it with the sides of the clip. So you have the total connection of the rain. You brought the rain into the bore. You have the advantage of having a bore. And you haven't tainted the water in the process.
Does Borsi, does the concept of Borsi find itself anywhere in Hamara?
Probably not.
As opposed to any other retention.
I'm not familiar with that. The halacha is similar like this in a mikvah, but it doesn't have to be good after sid. Now I have cracks in it.
No, for example,
seepage.
The dam that was collected in a vessel that was made out of sid also?
No. It was kesev, so. Yeah. Okay, so this is the Blessed of Holiness, and he is the role of Nefesh, meaning the spiritual form of the lower world. His kli, in the vessel that expresses him, that is his counterpart, his guf. If on this level he's the neshama, he's the spiritual half, so the Nefesh chelek of the Blazer of Ben Hurkines, who is the Bor Sitch and Abitiba, is Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya was the Asher Yolalato. Asher Yolalato, so we saw already from the Shayim that they bring the story, that Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya was born from a mother who spent every day of his Ibur going to 63 Batei Medrashos and Batei Knessios asking the Chachamim to mispal the Yishuvah. The product was that he produced, suppose you're slaying a mother's boy, meaning she produced the perfection of what a woman can produce. She produced a pure kli, a total pure chomer, which is an extremely high quality. It sounds like it's from the bottom of the totem pole, and this is one of the reasons, maybe, that there's a remnant here. Really, the order should have been the other way around. We starting from the, if you go up to the corner pole in the list of five, so Yeshua is the Guf Sheva Nefesh, and then Yeshua ben Hurkines, Rabbi ben Hurkines is the Nefesh Sheva Nefesh, he's the Ruchnias of the lower world. So first we should have said the Guf, and then we should go up to the Nefesh, like we do on the next round. At first you say the Guf, and then you say the Nefesh. Here we switch to the round. And there's a deeper reason for it also, but the simple reason on the surface is that a person can make a mistake that since we're playing with Yeshua ben Chananya on the lowest level, on the closest to what we would call goof, called the goof side of the lower level of Nefesh, so you can make a mistake to think that he's not in the same class as these others. So we put him in second, you know. We reverse the order to show you that. Not only that, the halacha, whenever you have a machlokes, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elazar are the famous Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elazar's all through Shas. The halacha is always like Rabbi Yeshua and never like Rabbi Elazar. And that's not per chance. There's a reason for that. There's a reason also because of course with Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, was shaykh to be Shammai, and Rabbi Yeshua was shaykh to Bethil. That's the famous machloek, because it's a whole subject. I won't go too far. I just want to show that we have to understand that although we're talking about Rabbi Yeshua being the goof, and the goof aspect of this level of nefesh, but we're talking each, you know, dragon, each of the five we're going to talk about is a whole world. It's a world that has a way, an aspect of looking at the whole. Source of Adam, because we're always talking about the whole source. A person, in fact, on the surface, the issue is the highest. Why? Because we all have the neshamas. That's not a big deal. All the neshamas are chelek al-ma'al. All the neshamas were nivim etachas kisei akovim, and all the neshamas, by definition, are really to be enemies of Hashem. The whole process of the world is the chiddush of combining neshama and guf, such that the neshama will purify the guf to the point that it becomes a clear, pure glass. That what the neshama represents without the guf loses nothing by being in such a guf. Like Moshe Ben's neshama didn't want to leave the guf. Which it tachas means, okay. There's no more competitive in this guf. There's no more concordant Torah better than neshama. The yisoid of a guf tovah, zach, it's the tachas of the whole world.
That's the,
What?
Rabbi Shu had that?
No, but all of the things everybody had. But each person had a particular aspect that was his midah. He specialized in this thing. Since of his mother, we'll just do these two today. Since his mother was Moshe Nefesh to produce this Madriga, she was Zeicha to produce a Chacham, Klali, but had the particular aspect that relates to mother. The particular aspect, she was able to produce a pure guf, a guf that was totally pure, Zach. Zach Menachem. And his Madriga is called Asher Yolatim. Asher, the Yerushalayim explain, Asher is a term, a general term of jubilation, joy, happiness, of having everything that could be called good. A person who has any chesaron in the world comes because the goof is not allowing the neshama to shine. A person has a pure goof, asher, asher. There's nothing else that can be described. He has everything. He has oishir, so he has asher, because he has no chesaron that's getting in the way. The merot that he's a goof, the goof is cooler than the end of chesaron. Alright, we'll have to stop here in the middle. And artificially stopping here, I'll continue.